the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God. Have wrestled very deeply and sincerely today, desiring to help you. I have desired for many, many months to help you. You have the greatest drawing card and pulling power probably in Pentecost, to being the best preachers here, to turn the crank and get you jiving and jumping and moving. And I'm all for that. But I would like to help you. Sometimes you can't be helped unless you're challenged. Now don't go all negative on me. I'm not crazy. I'm not against everything but fresh air. I feel like I really do have something to tell you, but I don't want to be pressurized into trying to perform and trying to say, okay, hit the ball out of the park. I used to play ball years ago. I played for the U.S. Air Force. I traveled for many, many years. And I've seen series won on a bunt. I've seen a pennant won on a squeeze play. Okay, I'll let it go. Zechariah chapter 2. Do thank the district and the district board and Brother Tenney and all you fine brethren who have asked me to come. You know, there was a time when I was younger when I was very excited about preaching large meetings and conferences and camps. And as I've got older quickly, I have come to a different disposition in my spirit. I realize more and more that I'm not such a hot shot, and that I desperately need the Lord, and that so many years I thought I was spiritual, I'm finding out I was very, very shallow. It's a very painful thing to find out that you're not what you thought you were, but it's also a very precious thing that God would let you learn that. Praise God. I hope I'm not ruining your... I know you're all here and everything's keyed up and people are saying, whoa, man, preach. I'll preach. I just want you to understand where I'm coming from.
That's
Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, run. Now angels are speaking to each other. And said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Now, if you'll turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, I would like to thank you for being such a gracious audience to me last night, and I'm very sorry I preached so long. I'll do my best to get in and out of the chute here in just a few minutes. John chapter 4 and verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat, and saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink? Thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. But whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever shall drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm going to do my best for a few moments to join these two scripture settings together. I do not know whether you are able to grasp what was really being said in both of them. But in both instances, the problem was measuring. I want to talk to you tonight on yardsticks, calculations, tape measures, and missed miracles. Lord, bless the teaching of the word and help me to do a good job. Help me to be relaxed in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Anybody own a yardstick? Anybody use it? Anybody bring one tonight? In the story of the book of Zechariah, we are told that there's a fellow running, a young man. We're told he's a young man. And I think there's a reason why the Bible said it was a young man. Because youth always likes to measure. There's something about youth that always want to categorize everything. Compute it all, ledger it all, get all the answers, figure it all out, no loose ends. And so the scripture says there was a young man who had a measuring line in his hand. And the only thing that stopped him from measuring was the supernatural. An angel was sent to stop him from measuring. And the angel was told to tell him, don't measure Jerusalem, because God will be in the midst as a fire, and as fire round about her, and it'll be so big and so vast and so measureless that your foolish little calculations won't count. I'd like to tell this Louisiana camp in this night, this may be my last night to preach because there are no tomorrows. And I won't save a good one for tomorrow. I'll give you the best one I got tonight. Why don't we Pentecostals put away our calculators? Why don't we lay down our yardsticks? Why don't we put away our tape measures and let God give us a miracle camp meeting this night? The great battle that we face today is not unbelief. Now, you brethren can differ with me, but not now. It's not the world. It's not standards and dress and all the stuff we fuss and cuss about. Our problem is we lack understanding. It is so easy to misunderstand what God wants to do. And in our misunderstanding, we measure it. So easy to misread a situation, a statement, or a spiritual work. So easy. Yeah. I'll show you what I mean. So easy when things ain't juking and jamming and jumping to say, well, guess we ain't gonna have a good service tonight. It ain't smoking. Well, I'll go a little further. Let's go to General Conference. Here's how we measure the service. In the foyer, who's preaching? Woo!
bunch of them say, what does it matter who's preaching? What does it matter who's singing? What does it matter? We're going to magnify the Lord. Isn't God going to show up no matter who praises him? No matter who preaches his gospel? Isn't God bound to his word? Can't we have a miracle unless we measure ourselves out of a miracle?
Anybody been to services like me, dead as a hammer?
I wish that choir would have sung some more. I was kind of feeling it. I like when that ministry quartet sang. My foot got to moving. I felt something then. I don't feel nothing now. Guess ain't going to be no miracles. Since when did faith become feeling? Since when did God have to respond to our little calculations and our little concepts? Is he not God? Does he not feel from everlasting to everlasting? Can we actually measure him and so he can't move until he goes like we want him to? Can't God take the deadest service in Pentecost and in 5 seconds swoop down into that service and heal everything and save everything and redeem everything and forgive everything? Woo. Woo.
Let me try it again. We're living in a generation, especially this day, of self-appointed measurers, tabulators, calculators, figurers, who leave no place for faith, supernatural, or miraculous. We are the generation of the young man with the measuring reed. And God is sending an angel to us to say, put away your calculations, God don't need them. What you're trying to measure is a natural thing, but this is going to be a supernatural thing. God will be a fire in her. God will be a wall around her. There'll be such a large multitude and harvest, you're not going to be able to measure it, and your little report doesn't matter anyway.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Well, I'll try it one more time. If it doesn't get any better, I'm going home. I don't need to fight nobody. Oh, thank you. Oh, yes. I pastor a church with people that own these. They bring them regular. Put somebody up there to sing who's had a problem, but God forgave him. But God's saying, get rid of the stick. Get rid of the calculator. I'm fixing to do something you can't put a calculation on. You can't measure this. You cannot measure anything that God is involved with. That's why we like law. We can measure it. Why we're afraid of grace? It's measureless.
You can sit down. I ain't afraid. I came with money in my pocket. I can leave. I love you. But I won't let you hold me hostage. I love the people I pastor, but they won't hold me hostage either. But calculators. We're cursed with this new generation. Everybody you talk to has got a pocket calculator. Say, what do you think about it? Oh, wait a minute. Living in a world of ledgers. Go by faith and their computer says, does not compute, does not compute.
dangerous to try to build this new building. Does not compute. Do not step out beyond last year's registrar. Do not step out beyond last year's attendance. Do not step out and try to buy that new piece of property. Last year's tithing and building fund was X number of dollars. I have it here on the ledger. God wants to set a fire in us of faith and say, man, you got to step out beyond the parameters and the barriers. You got to step out beyond the limitations of these things and believe that if God is in the midst of it, he doesn't want your report. He doesn't need your calculator. He doesn't need your yardstick. You can't measure what God's in. Woo. When I consider God being wisdom, absolute knowledge, absolute power, how can you say God is absolute power? There's nothing in our world to compare him to. There is nothing that we know of that has absolute power. So our measurement is pathetic. If you'd read the book of Habakkuk, it's not a real thrilling book, but there is a great chapter in it. Chapter 3 is awesome. When you read chapter 3, it's one of the greatest displays of chaos and destruction recorded anywhere. God tears the whole joint up. He wrecks the place. He turns mountains upside down. He dries up seas. And then you know what Habakkuk says? And there was the hiding of his power. There was more concealed than it was revealed. There's more unknown than there is known. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. He saw the greatest display of power he had ever seen. And then the Spirit grabs him and says, write these words. What you've just seen is not what has not been seen. There's more untold than there's been told. There's more unexperienced than there's been experienced. There's more hidden than there is revealed. When you feel this little... I'll promise you, there's billions of oceans of that that you ain't experienced yet. Pentecost, you got to go beyond your barrier. You got to go beyond your ceiling. You got to stop thinking. Only thing that works is what you measured. Oh, God. God said, I'll work and who let it? I'll do all my pleasure. The inhabitants of the earth are considered as nothing in my sight. The nations of the earth and all their powers are dropping a bucket to me. I'm sovereign God. We don't preach much sovereignty, but God said he's sovereign. Now, those of you who have not been to Bible school, it means he's in charge. It means he's the head knocker. He's number one. I'll tell you, boy, I'd like to step out and just tell you what sovereignty really is. We teach this, oh, I guess we will. We teach this doctrine in Pentecost called free moral agent, free moral choice. I'd like scripture and verse for that, please. Oh, yeah, you can get quiet, because there's a Bible man right there. Get on a theologian. You ready? I'd like to find the scripture that says, as we've always preached, God won't violate human will. I'd like to debate you on that. God told Israel 3 times a year, I want your males to leave their property and their family and their bambinos and travel up to Jerusalem 3 times a year for annual feasts. And while they're at the feast, I will cause the heathen not to desire their land. I'll violate their will. Uh-oh. Don't tell me God can't override human will. If he can't override it, then your human will's God. Oh, I got a question mark spirit here now. Want to try it again? Genesis 20. Abraham is practicing his neat little thing called lying. If you study Genesis 20, Abraham has been a believer for 25 years. The reason God puts Genesis 20 there is to show us, no matter how long you've been saved or walking in the light, your flesh is ready to stink up the place. 25 years later, after walking with God, covenant of circumcision, miracles of a baby, this dude turns around and says, "Don't forget, Sarah, baby, you're my sis and I'm your bro. Because you can't trust God down here, so I'm going to have to scheme a while. I'm going to measure the situation. My measurements say we better deceive." And so he says, "Yeah, that's my sister. Oh, yeah, that's my brother." Abimelech says, "Good, she's a fine-looking fox. Come here, baby." Takes her into his harem. He's fixing to have relations with that gal. He didn't bring her into the harem to cook chicken. He planned on having some romance there somewhere. Now, you have to understand, Abimelech is a sheik. He's not a slob. He's a sheik. He's got a harem. He's taking Sarah. Now, you watch me. And the scripture, boy, God, I got eyes on me everywhere. And the scripture says, and God comes not to Abram, comes to Abimelech, and says, "Thou art but a dead man." He said, whoa, "What's the matter?" Says, "The woman that you've taken into your harem is another man's wife. I have she lied. She said it was her brother, and he said that was my sister. In the integrity of my heart," the integrity of his heart. He's a dirt bag. He got the morals of a roach. "The integrity of my heart." He trying to snow job God. You can't snow job God. He knows about the integrity of your heart. It sounds good, but it won't fly. He says, "In the integrity of my heart, I took the woman. They lied to me." Now watch what the Lord says. "Yeah, I know in the integrity of your heart you did it. Nevertheless, return the woman to the man. For," here it is. You get it? Here it is. Violation of human will. "For I have kept thee back from sinning against me." I stepped in and violated your human desire and your human will, because my purpose is never subject to human stupidity. When I promise something, I'm going to make it happen. Whether you're the player or not, it depends on whether you use your faith. But I'm going to have a church, I'm going to have a marriage, I'm going to have a bride, I'm going to have a kingdom. Now, you can be in it if you want to, but it doesn't matter, because I can violate all people's will. I can cause Nebuchadnezzar to go crazy. I can cause Belshazzar to get killed that night. I can do anything I want. I can put it into Pharaoh's heart that he will not let Israel go, so my might and my majesty and my power can be shown. The church needs to learn something. We're not subject to the devil. We're not subject to this world. There's a God in heaven that has ordained the church, and the church is going to be victorious. God is sovereign. When God says something, it is. I don't mean to cause you no trouble, Rev. God violated Abimelech's will. Boy, a lot of you theologians trying to redo your Bible studies now. When the Lord showed that to me, I said, "Boy, this sure messes up my preaching." If you violated his will, and the Lord said, I don't see no if there. I did it. John Cupid, I just did it. I went in, Abimelech's desire with her for romance and sexual activity, and I just stepped right in and said, "No, you can't do it." Stopped him. Overrode his will. I said, "Well, Lord, I believe you. But if you override people's will with your sovereignty and kept him back from sinning against you, why didn't you do it with Adam? I thought I'd put him in a corner. And the Lord just quickened to me. You must understand something, boy. I overrode his will so that my purpose would be demonstrated. Well, what was your purpose in Adam? Grace. If Adam had not sinned and failed, he would have only seen me as his daddy, his private tutor, his lawmaker, and his friend. But then he fell and transgressed, and I allowed him to choose. Then I brought to him grace, because he knew he was supposed to die, but I spared him. And he was spared because of another's life. I gave him the first act of substitution. I showed him the gospel in Genesis 3. An innocent animal died, blood was shed, and he was clothed with the animal. That's the gospel. It was grace. He would have known nothing of grace had he not allowed that to happen. Oh, I got you way out there. I'm so sorry. I'm talking about it is possible tonight for you and I to, by measuring, miss the miracle God has for us. By measuring the situation, by measuring the person, by measuring the problem. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, Elisha the prophet was there. He said, "Hear the word of the Lord. About this time tomorrow, such and such is going to sell for so much, and such and such is going to sell for so much." And in verse 2, here came the guy with the measuring stick. If God would make windows in heaven, could it be? And God wasn't laughing. You see, when God promises a miracle, he usually gives you no proof. And you either act on it or you measure it. And that guy said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it. If God would open windows." Can you imagine God saying, "Why do I have to open windows? Who said anything about windows?" "Oh, I see. You understand the bins of your generation. They opened the bin windows and the wheat and the barley came out. Oh, so you measure me by your little concept, you little idiot. So I have to play by your rules. So then you rule me." I'm sorry. His reason could not recede. Our situations and our problems, although they're very real, can very easily overwhelm us and paralyze us, and they make us critical. God wants to set the biggest jailbreak ever recorded in history out. He's going to use one guy with a magic stick, turns to snakes, comes back to rods, hand to leper, back to whole. And he can't get Moses on sight because Moses keeps measuring the miracle by the mentality of the people. They won't believe. And God's trying to spring 3 million Jews out of a jail in one night. And the whole jailbreak is waiting on one idiot who's got a stick that he keeps measuring. Yeah, I know that rod went through a snake and back to a rod, my hand leprosy. But, you know, that's okay. But the people. Your miracles are no match for the mentality of the people. They won't believe me. What shall I say? I don't speak well. And the whole jailbreak waits for him. You have to be hearing. We're talking about the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh boy. The natural man doesn't receive the things of God. They're foolishness to God. When we all preach the great miracle of the multiplying oil and the widow, do you understand that the miracle stopped too soon? It stopped because the lady stopped getting vessels. She'd have got another 1,000 vessels. She got another 1,000 pots of oil. God's not out of oil. We're out of vessels. God's not out of a desire to do the miraculous. We've got a messed up mentality.
I'm going to put this down a minute. We're going to pray because I'm fighting you. Let's pray.
God by our circumstances, our understanding, and our level of learning. It is so easy to limit the invisible by the visible, the intangible by the tangible. The obvious hurts us. That's why Joshua said, up, sanctify yourselves. God will do wonders among you in a few days.
No, tomorrow. The only thing they had to do was stop measuring what they had once failed to do. They had tried to take that land once before, and they measured God by the giants and the walled cities. And they said, we're not able. God says, that's right, you're not, but I am.
I brought you out of Egypt. I broke Pharaoh's back. I crushed the greatest empire in the world. I opened the Red Sea. I gave you a cloud and a pillar of fire. What else do you want? I rain manna. I rain quail. Waters come out of the rock. Why can't you trust me for a new problem? I don't care what you folks are facing in Louisiana tonight. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Stop measuring!
Wasn't it? I'll finish in just a minute. Wasn't it the disciples who almost missed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, when one of them said, but what are they among so many? He went and asked Philip, Philip, how can we feed these guys? Philip was the only one that had a calculator. 200 penny worth will just be enough for everyone to take a little. Always the believer's mentality, little. Minimum. And they're dealing with the God who's the maximum God. He wants to give everybody everything they need, everything they can hold. 12 baskets full left over to take care of tomorrow. You're not dealing with a God that deals in minimums. You got a God that wants to pour it out and pour it out and pour it in and pour it through. Stop measuring how much Holy Ghost can you get by with. Ask God to give you a river. Ask God to give you a tidal wave. Ask God to pour it on you. Get drunk. Talk in tongues. Fall down. I don't want just how little I can get of God. I want everything God will let me have. But my mind has got to stop measuring. Whew. Another minute. Try to finish. You know, they almost missed the miracle of the raising of Lazarus because Martha and Mary came out with a yardstick. But by now, he's a stinker. I know you can heal, but I ain't never seen you work in the area of aroma. Now, after you finish giggling, get the principle I just told you. Easy to believe God for things that we're familiar with. Tough to step into a new area that you've never seen. Oh, God, you've never seen God do it. You never heard about him doing it. Hey, he's not limited by the fact there's no record of it. His things are new every morning. He's got more in reserve than you can ever use up. I don't care your church has never run over 200. Stop using that measuring stick. You can run 4. You can run 6. You can break your walls out. You can have a new giving. Run after the young man. Tell him not to measure the city. For God will be a fire in her. And walls about her, and multitudes of people and cattle, so that the miracle will become measureless. You do what you want to say. Just wanting to be saved. I want to be like Christ. I want to be transformed in the image of Christ. That's a lot more than just getting the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Whew. You can be seated a second. Now remember, he just did 10 fantastic plagues in Israel, in Egypt. He broke them out of jail. They ate the lamb, put the blood on the door, went out with a high hand. In fact, they went out pretty full. They had gold and silver and idols and jewels. They spoiled the joint. God said, you're not going to come out empty. You know why God had to say that? Because their mentality would have measured just to be free, just to be free. If I could just be free. But God's mentality is, no, 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 get the calculator out here. You ain't just going to be free. You're going to have lots of grits and potatoes and bacon and ham. You're going to have all kinds of groceries. You're going to have gold and silver. I'm going to, watch, you're going to violate human will. I'm going to give you favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. Something happened that night, Brother Cupid. God zapped those Egyptians. He did something to them that when the Jews got ready to leave, they said, here's my mink coat. Here's my gold. Here's my... Don't you think God can give us favor with people we... Don't you think God can give us favor with city councilmen, with sinners, with people that we can be a blessing to and that can bless the work of God? Stop measuring. Let me try to finish. The Lord said, I can of these stones raise up sons Abram. Now you can't compute that. You can't calculate that. But I don't work by your computer. So well, how you going to do it? Well, I ain't going to tell you. Somehow we think God has got to answer our little questions. I'm not going to believe in God because there's so many unanswered questions. Well, what questions you want answered? Well, how much does the moon weigh? I'll know. Well, how old is the earth? Bible don't say. Just says in the beginning. Got any other questions?
How big is God? Measureless. From everlasting to everlasting. God. Fills the heavens. Fills the earth. Why, the earth's his footstool. Heaven's his throne. Come on, get your midget mentality saved tonight. I said heaven is throne. Earth is his footstool. He gathers the wind in his fist. He can be present everywhere and absent no place. He can leave where he is and go where you are and never leave where he was. I said he can leave where he is and go where you are and never have left where he was. Why? He's measureless. He's not just in a good Wednesday night service. He's not just King of Glory in a great Sunday night service. When your heart is breaking and you're all alone praying, cleaning your dishes or cleaning your home or driving your car or a little song comes, he's God. He's Almighty God. He's just as powerful there as he is in this camp meeting. Let's have a yardstick sale. Let's sell the yardsticks. Let's cash in our calculators and let God be true and every man a liar. I'm sorry. I don't know what time I started. I'll be finished in just a minute here. Bible says God can save to the uttermost. Now, I've heard a lot of people preach on that, and I don't want to say they were wrong, but I have heard a lot of people preach on it. He can save to the uttermost. You know? I've heard people say, well, that means God can take you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Well, that preaches good, and that's fine, but that ain't what it really be saying, kiddies. He said he can save you not from the uttermost. He said he can save you to the uttermost. He can take you from a degenerate position to an exalted place as a son of God. He can put you in the body of Christ, make you a member of the bride of Christ, put you in the highest realm in the universe, of which angels would like to have your position, but they can't have it because they're servants and you're sons. I can't believe anybody's got to push you to praise. I can't believe we've got to have the choir ramming and jamming to get you to praise. When I consider what he's done for me, when I consider where he came from and what he's done and what he's doing and what he's going to do, my past ought to provoke me into my future. The God that saved me is saving me, will save me.
You may be seated a second. May I say this in trying to close? I don't know what time. I got 11 o'clock in Florida. Listen to me. God, yeah, stop measuring my time. That's the truth.
I'm going to tell you something. God can use anybody. And he loves to use people who have failed a lot. Ain't that right, Abraham, you old lying dog? Ain't that right, Jacob? You couldn't tell the truth standing on a Bible looking at God. But God didn't damn you. God didn't condemn you. He brought you back from Laban's house. He brought you back to Bethel, to the place of your first altar, to the place of your first consecration. He wrestled with you. He made you an Israel. You became a blessing. Oh, God can use anybody.
God can use Jonah. God can use, oh, I like this. God can use Jonah. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, didn't put him on probation, didn't put him on parole, he put him to work. I got hurt a few years ago for saying that, but I'm going to say it again. He didn't put him on probation, he didn't put him on parole, he put him to work. And you keep messing around with your mentality, and God can build you a prayer room too. Don't tell me he can't violate human will. He can take an unwilling idiot and make him willing. Oh, baby. First time he went there, he said, cry against the city. Second time he went there, preach unto it. He offered him a message of grace. 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. There was no message of that in the first chapter. Grace was offered. 40 is the number of testing. If God wanted to kill Nineveh, he said, kill everybody. God didn't want to kill nobody. He offered him grace. 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown, and everybody starts repenting. And then after the greatest revival that's ever been preached, one guy preached one sermon, 120,000 people went to the altar, and the preacher got ticked off. You know why? He measured God's mercy by his news clippings. I don't mind God being merciful, but I don't want him to ruin my preacher image. I wouldn't want God to go back on anything that I said was God. Let me die, God. Better for me to die than to be humiliated. What about 120,000 people go to hell? Let them go to hell. My image is more important. And God reached down and broke Jonah's measuring stick. Said, you were glad for the gourd when it gave you shade. How come you're mad at mercy? You're only happy when things come your way. You're measuring me by your poor midget mentality. I don't want anybody lost. I don't want prostitutes lost, homosexuals lost, drug addicts lost, drunks lost, child molesters lost. I don't want the first Pentecostal backslider lost. Let anybody that wants to come back, let them come back. Guess I'm going to try to finish again. The lady said to him, I ain't got last night's message yet. The lady said to Jesus, when he said, give me a drink, lady. She said, she got her calculator. She said, thou hast nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. And as far as I figure, you can't do it. Could I tell you the dirtiest words that have ever been heard in a Pentecostal church is for some nincompoop sitting on the pew say, well, the way I figure it. Well, the way I measure it. And the preacher says, let's have revival. And that nincompoop says, well, I've been in this church 33 years here. I never seen no kind of revival like that. I tried that all night praying one time, didn't work. Way I figured. Oh, shut up, fool.
interested in your report. God's not interested in your report. It's time to get rid of the tape measure. It's time to get rid of the calculator. Let the Spirit of the Lord blow. It's like the wind, and you can't measure the wind. Just juke a little bit, even though we don't feel it. Woo! Don't miss your miracle by measuring God by your feelings. God have mercy. My God, have mercy. Excuse me, I ain't learned this yet. I'm still excited about this. I ain't got everything I'm going to get. It doesn't even matter whether I feel good. God's bigger, God's better, God's good anyway. You remain standing. Remain standing. She just said, the water is too far down for you to reach. Your hand can't reach it. And the way I measure and calculate, you ain't got nothing to lift with.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, honey, ain't nobody too far down that he can't reach. And there's no situation too far down that he cannot lift you back up. There's not one situation that is beyond his ability to reach it. You see, she's measuring this water by her tools, buckets, ropes, strength, humanity. The key to the story is simple. Are you greater than our father Jacob? I wrestled with Jake. Who do you think made him a cripple? Could I say this just, I'm leaving, Bishop, I'm leaving? Do yourself a favor and read the Bible. Genesis 32, the scripture says that the angel touched the hollow of his thigh. Now watch what it says. I ain't never heard nobody preaching, but I'm right anyway. And his sinew shrunk. Wait a minute. Shrunk. Shrunk. His flesh got smaller, but it never disappeared.
Right.
And when you wrestle with God, and God brings a transformation into you, don't ever think that you'll ever have the flesh always gone. All it does is diminish. It's still there. That's why you have to pray every day. That's why you have to be renewed every day. That's why you need to talk in tongues all the time. That's why you need a fresh consecration and a fresh dedication. And you need to be in the throne of grace all the time. Because the sinew just shrinks. It doesn't disappear. Yeah.
I crippled him, but I crowned him. I hurt him, but I honored him. I broke him, but I blessed him. I maimed him, and I renamed him. Yeah, am I greater than Jake? Sure I am. I'm Alpha Omega, beginning in, first, last. Rose of Sharon, Lily Valley, bright morning star. Root and offspring of David. Isn't that something? He says, I'm the root and the fruit. Stop measuring God, please, by your weaknesses, by your limitations, by your setbacks. Don't measure God by yesterday's mistakes and last month's failures and efforts that went wacko. That's John 5 and the idiot cripple sitting there 38 years. Would you like to be whole? Oh, I have no man. And he gives him this 15-page dissertation of yesterday. Well, you see, I've tried so many times, and the reason why I can't get help now is because I failed yesterday. So my hope of a miracle now, I'm measuring my miracle now by yesterday's failure, so I don't have any faith for right now. And God finally has to break his measuring stick and said, oh, shut up and stand up. I finished, and I'm very sorry to keep you so long. Listen to this. This is powerful. Here's what God is trying to say to us, Holy Roller folks. Lady, I need to help you with something. First place, I'm not going to use your water. She's measuring his miracle by her water. The well's deep. You ain't got nothing to draw with. Lady, I'm not going to use your water. In fact, I'm not going to use your well.
That's right.
Said the water that I shall give him shall be a well in him, springing up into everlasting life. God's not going to use what you can do. God's not trying to make something out of what you are and your ability and your finance and your talent and your situations. He may choose to use that, but don't measure what he wants to do with your rationale and your reason and your ability. God's going to put fresh fire in you, a fresh spirit in you, a new nature in you. He's going to put a new spirit in you. It's not going to be your water. It's going to be his water. It's not going to be your well. It'll be his well.
Well, I've kept you a long time. I've tried to help you. Now, here's what I need to ask you. What you going to do? Oh, man, I feel such a hurting spirit here.
Hurting, but a healer.
Yes. Hurting. God. Some of you sweet people, you're like the elder brother on the outside porch, and you won't go in the feast because you're mad at your dad's mercy. Somebody in your church, somebody in a ministry, somebody you esteemed, maybe even family, failed God. Did something stupid, brought a reproach. But your Father has forgiven, restored, refreshed, and put a banquet on. And you're the elder brother standing on the back porch, measuring your Father's mercy by your mandate. And I won't go in the party. Because he's using her, or he's using him, or the preachers let this happen. Or that. How many people here right now, you're not even in the church because your measurement of what a saint should be came up short? Don't you understand God's saints are some of the worst people in the world at times? But they're still his sons and daughters, and they're still in covenant, and they're on the canopy of grace. Yes, we ought to be ashamed when our conduct is unholy. But we're not up for adoption because our conduct is unholy. Come on, let's break out and praise God. Woo.
Woo, hallelujah. Move on us, wind. Fill the house, wind of God. Fill the house, wind of God. Come on. Come on. Go past the measuring. Go past the tabulations and the calculations. You can start over. You can get a fresh desire. You can get a fresh walk. Something new can happen to you. You can get fresh water. There's a well that can still spring up. Maybe the Philistines have stopped the wells that take a few minutes in repentance and consecration and take out the junk and take out the dirt and let the well flow again.
Oh, love of God.
It's not important what you've been.
How rich and pure.
And it's not even really important what you are now. The only thing that's important is what you can be. Did you hear it? How measureless
and strong.
Everybody's a debtor to grace. Everybody.
It shall forevermore endure.
Maybe your faith is only the size of a mustard seed, but don't laugh at the size of the seed, for there's a majestic tree inside waiting to come out.
Angels song.
Come on, let it sink in. Come on, ask God to help you, whatever you need. If you'd like to come to the altar and pray, come on. If you need somehow, you're calculated to be broken. God can't use me. Yes, He can.